This is Maurizio Mingardi, pastor of Mount Zion Church of the Firstborn. This recording is part two of the instruction on water baptism. In this section, I will discuss the meaning of water baptism. We can go directly to the scriptures for that. In Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 14. Please listen carefully to the Word of God. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, so that grace may abound? Let it not be. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Do you not know that as many as of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been joined together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, in order that the body of sin may be destroyed, that from now on we should not serve sin. For he who died has been justified from sin. But if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that when Christ was raised from the dead, he dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives to God. Likewise, count yourself to be truly dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey in his lusts. For do not yield your member as instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you have not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Let not be. Do you not know that whom you yield yourself as slave for obedience, you are slave to him you obey? Whether it is a sin to death or obedience to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you were a slave of sin, but now you have obeyed from the heart to the form of doctrine by which you were delivered. Then, being made free from sin, you became the slave of righteousness. Then in Colossians chapter 2, verses 10 to 14. And you are complete in him, who is the head over principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in whom also you were raised through the faith in the working of God, raising him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the incircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven your old trespasses, blotting out the handwriting and of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. These are powerful scriptures that shows us a very important principle. The principle that in baptism we identify ourselves with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. With his death becomes our death, dying to the desires of the flesh, to sin, and in faith submitting ourselves to the will of God. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 3, said clearly, "Do you not know that as many as us were baptized in Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Then in Galatians 2 chapter 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I live. Yet no longer I, but Christ lives in me. And that life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith toward the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself on my behalf." So we do consider ourselves dead to sin, and as we go to baptism, we make a solemn pledge or a promise, an agreement with God concerning this. Is in a way our Gethsemane. Just as Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, "Not my will, but your will be done." We make a conscious choice, a decision, and a witness to the world that we are dead to sin, and now, from now on, alive in Christ. The second part of our identification is the identification with Jesus' burial. His burial is our burial. This implies a complete separation from the world, a circumcision of the flesh, and dedication of our body to God. We can go to Romans chapter 6, verse 4, where it says, "Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Then, in verse 11 to 13, "Likewise, count yourself." We have to count ourselves. This is the part that we have to play. "Count yourself also as to be truly dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, do not let," and this is the part you do, "sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not yield your members as instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to God as one alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness to God." So we have a part we play in identifying with Jesus' burial, and that part is has to do with not letting sin reign in our body. This involves more than just a desire, involves action, a step of faith. It is not in our own strength that we depend, but we depend in faith from God. If we go to James chapter 2, said, "But will you know, O vain man, that faith without work is dead?" So there is a work that we should play right now, and that work involves believing God that he's going to be able to empower us to follow God and to overcome sin in our lives. This is a continuous implementation. It's a carrying, if you want, of our cross. And it's a victory if we do it and exercise it in faith. The third part of our identification with Christ is our identification with Jesus' resurrection. His resurrection is also our resurrection. But death is always required before resurrection. So we are raised by faith and through faith in Christ. If we go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, says, "And you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in whom also you were raised through the faith of the working of God, raising him from the dead, and you being dead in your sin and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven your trespasses. all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which is contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So, through the faith in Jesus Christ, we are raised to a new life with Him. Going to Romans chapter 4 again. It says, therefore, we were buried with Him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. There is a new life that with in us. And says, verse 5 says, for if we have been joined together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. And this is important to remember and to understand, that we are raised in the likeness of His resurrection by the power of the Holy Spirit, the way Jesus was raised. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, so that if anyone is in Christ, that one is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself, to Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Whereas God was in Christ reconciled the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and putting the word of reconciliation in us. So this is what takes place. We have been reconciled through what Jesus has done, not being imputed to sin. We are reconciled to God. And we have given to us, He has given to us the word of reconciliation so that we can give it to others. Then in Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision has any strength, nor uncircumcision. Those are the physical things. But a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be upon them, and upon the Israel of God, which we are. Then 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. And what agreement does Christ have with Belial, or the devil? And what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So we can see that through faith, we start walking in a newness of life, in the power of God, and given to us by the Holy Spirit. God is living in us, and in our life is empowering us to conquer sin, our weaknesses, and all the other manifestations of the flesh. And on Easter Sundays, what we do is we just celebrate this resurrection that comes after Jesus' death, and it's also our resurrection. And through the we experience the glorious experience of the power of God and victory in our life through what Jesus has done and has made available to us. Finally, the results of baptism are given in Romans chapter 6, verse 17, and some of the following verses. Let's go there. It says, verse 17, but thanks be to God, our God, that you were the slave of sin, but you have been obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. Then, being made free from sin, you have become slave to righteousness. And verse 22, but now, being made free from sin and having become slave to God, you have your fruit to holiness and the everlasting life. I would like to add that even in the Old Testament, some of these concepts were already evidently expressed in the Word of God, but in a veiled way, as a shadow and types. For example, the circumcision corresponds to the burial in baptism. The going through the Red Sea before coming into the promised land correspond to the immersion. The crossing of the Jordan as well is another element of a parallel year with the New Testament. And finally, the resurrection power coming from the washing of the word can be seen very clearly in the healing of Naam, the general Eden. There was not even a Jew, and this is evident in how God worked, even in the Old Testament, according to the same principle in the same way. This is an exciting experience we come into when we understand and can fully appreciate then what happens in the process and the ceremony of baptism.